This is the iMoney Podcast Show. Everything you need to know about everyday consumer affairs. Brought to you by iGlobal.
Hello and welcome to the iMoney Show right here on iGlobal Radio. Now, we often bring you a host of experts and people in the know, where they are either investors or finance experts and people who can really tell us and guide us from time to time about what to do with our investments. Today is no exception, as we have Tushar Shah, who joins us all the way from Reading. Tushar, welcome to iGlobal Radio and welcome to the iMoney Show.
Hi, Tony, and thank you for having me on the program. It's a pleasure.
You're very welcome. So tell us a little bit about your background. What made you go into property investments, and where did your life start in the world of investments and money?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a roundabout story, if I'm going to be honest. I had a corporate career, but always had a desire to start my own businesses. So I started off in 2006. One of my first businesses was actually as a photographer. And I guess it was a bit of timing for me, because we were moving from film to digital. And because I was quite into my technology, I moved straight to digital. And fundamentally, I sort of started at a time when I was able to capture the high-end Asian wedding market. And what really got me into property investing was really when I would sit and talk to the families and to see how their journeys. And it was very inspiring. Many of them come from East Africa or India, starting off with working in factories or corner shops. But through hard work, determination, they really moved forward and built a future for them and their families. And one of the things I always remember speaking to one person was, he always said to me, "Tushar, your photography is fantastic, but if you're really going to build real wealth, you need to build businesses and then invest in property." And that always stuck with me. So whenever, it was always in the back of my mind. And then around 2009, I made a commitment that I was going to learn about property and start investing in property.
This is the iMoney Podcast from iGlobal. The Great Big Indian Money Show, brought to you by iGlobal on March the 26th and 27th.
Investing in property is, of course, an ideal for everybody. We'd all like to do it. There's one thing that frightens us, and that is, I don't have the money. Where do I start? I don't have any assets. I live in my parents' house, but I'm earning money. However, I'll never get a mortgage. These are all the, I'm going to call them myths now, just for the sake of this conversation today. These are all the situations that we find ourselves in, Tushar. So how do we get around that, and how did you get around that?
I think that is a very common challenge for everybody. And up until 2009, that I was of the very similar mindset. I didn't have enough money. I had a mortgage, I had children's nursery fees to pay. I just didn't have the cash or the capital, and it was very risky. And I remember back in 2004, 2005, when we had the first boom in property, and everyone was investing in off plan, etc. And I was running those numbers, and it just didn't make sense, you know, when I was looking at buying a flat in Nottingham, for example. Unfortunately, I didn't buy it. But when I spoke to somebody, they said, what you're looking at it is the traditional way, where we're looking to repay the mortgage. And when you're repaying a mortgage or a property, it actually doesn't make financial sense. And actually, you need to find people that are investing in it and learn from that. So that's where in 2009, 2010, I started speaking to other property investors, learning for them, reading about it, going to network meetings, and really understanding how people were able to buy properties in a recession effectively and grow their portfolios. So I think one of the first things I always advise people is get educated. There's no cost to it. There's a lot of free stuff out there. Speak to people that are investing in it. Within your networks, you'll have family members that are investing in property. Ask them. Sometimes we're too embarrassed to do that. And actually, most people that have done well or are doing something, they like talking about it. They like helping people. And if they're genuine, they really will make that time. So I think that's the first thing. And the reality is, you do need a bit of capital in property. But one of the ways that we started was, and I continue to do this, is there's only so much property a person can buy. But if you're very good at finding property investments and property deals, you can then sell those deals on to other investors. And actually, we see a lot of people that are cash rich and time poor. So if you don't have any cash right now, it's a great way of finding good investments and then presenting it to investors and saying to them, would you like to buy this? And building up that system is a very good way of building up some extra money for your first deposit on a property. And then there's more advanced strategies where you could develop properties or add value. But as you get more experience, those are the ways that you can really build that. And we can talk more about that as well.
I just wanted to share with you, I mean, if you could share with us, this formula of cash rich, time poor. It's a wonderful, wonderful philosophy and statement, but I needed some clarification on that, and because it intrigues me.
Yes, I'll give you a prime example. So recently, I had a GP in Birmingham contact me. We've been discussing on Facebook on a forum, and he says, I really want to get into property investment. I just very struggle to do the analysis. And his words were, it's analysis by paralysis. You know, I look at a deal.
It gets better.
I think it's great. It's great. But I just don't have the confidence or the commitment to move forward on that. And so I've been working with him and mentoring him. And he said, look, I'd like to buy a block of flats. Now, being a GP and a doctor, he was very cash rich. He had quite a lot of money. But he, as we know, bank accounts are only paying us 0.001% if we're lucky. And then so he really wanted to start investing in property and also build a future for him and his family. So we actually found a block of 9 flats in Birmingham. And actually, he had lots of questions. And I said, this is a fantastic deal. If I was going to buy this property, I have no hesitation with it. And I talked him through the process, how to talk to the vendor, how to structure the deal. And we actually agreed the deal on Christmas Eve. And last Friday, we just exchanged on that property and we'll complete this Friday. It's a fantastic deal. But it's one of those things that if you don't have the experience, you're always going to struggle. And I always put the analogy of riding a bicycle. When you first start riding a bicycle, your focus is about staying on the bicycle and not falling.
Yeah.
But as you get more confident, as you get more experience, the thought of actually falling off your bicycle just goes.
It gets eliminated. Becomes a thing of the past. And this is why they say once you ride a bike, you never forget how to ride it, do you? For the rest of your life.
I was just saying that once people buy their first property, and as long as it's the right property investment, because people can buy wrong property investments, if it's the right one, they get the bug and they're looking for the next one and the next one.
This is the iMoney podcast from iGlobal. Find out more about the Great Big Indian Money Show under the events section of iGlobalNews.com.
So let's talk about investing then. So let us assume that we've now eliminated the cash-rich, time-poor scenario, and we're in a situation where I've got a property, or I may have a single property that I've either inherited from my parents, because a lot of Asian youth in this day and age are doing just that, or I've managed to save some money and I'm thinking to myself, I want to be like Tushar in Reading. I want to be like him, and I want to get onto the property ladder, but I'm frightened. Investment is a word that has such a large meaning and it speaks volumes, but at the same time, it also frightens people from getting onto the property ladder, which you mentioned earlier. So let's talk about investment. How do we go about it?
So the first thing is, let's just keep it simple. And I use the analogy whenever I'm speaking to it, it's like a game of Monopoly. Everybody wants to own Mayfair or Park Lane. But the people that actually win in Monopoly are the ones that have the blue, the pink, and the orange properties cards, because those are the ones that are cheaper to acquire and give you good cash flow for your investment. And it's a bit like Monopoly. When you get your cards, it's about buying your first house, then your second house, then your third house, then your fourth house. And then when you can, you get the hotel. But it takes time. And as you're going around that, sometimes you'll land on community chest or chance card, and that could be a positive, so you could get a bonus, but likely you could get a fine or you have to put some money in. And let's try and avoid going to jail, but, you know, there are things, as we said.
I only like the part where you can collect £200 when you pass go. That's not necessarily the case in our conversation today.
No, exactly. You normally land on the tax part straight away.
Indeed.
So look, that's the way I say, keep it very simple. You know, everyone wants to get onto the green and the purple cards on Monopoly. But the ones that always win are the ones that have the cheaper properties and are able to get the houses quickly and earn more money. So that's
right.
What I
so,
would say.
So the perspective you're coming and sharing with us today is going small and going cheap and going small, whether it's a one-bedroom, two-bedroom property, whatever it may be, and then use that as collateral for future investments and expand on that. Is that what you're saying to us today?
Yeah, I said, if you're starting off, you want to learn it. You know, if you're, let's give an example. If you were to buy a £100,000 house, you would be requiring maybe a £25,000 deposit and maybe £5,000 for legal stamp duty and a bit of repairs, maintenance to get it let out. Generally, it's a big investment. £25,000 is a lot, but it's something that over a period of time, people can recover from. Yeah. Whereas if you're looking to buy a £500,000 or £1 million property, that's a lot of money and a lot of cash that you're going to need to invest. So I always say start small and learn from it. So one of the key things, I get a lot of young people coming to me and say, I want to get into property. And I say, look, it's very simple. Right now, the government is helping so many people get onto the property ladder. So you could get Help to Buy, for example.
First time buyers. First time buyers,
you've got ISAs where the government tops up your investment, it's helping you work towards a deposit. You've got the bank of mum and dad potentially, or grandparents. So there's a lot of opportunities, but don't just say, right, I've got this money and I'm going to just go and buy a really nice one bedroom flat in central London or whatever. What I'd say to them is, how can you maximize that return? So what I always say to people is, if you're going to buy something, try and buy something with two or three bedrooms and rent the other bedrooms out to your friends or work colleagues. That will then pay your mortgage for you. And it's a very safe and quick and easy way of learning about property. And is this something you really want to enjoy doing? The other thing is, if you're getting married, buy something run down. My first property was a really run down property. And it was a nice one that me and my wife did up, and we learned, you know, everything about boilers, kitchens, bathrooms, and it was a nice project and we added value to it. So that's another way of people starting. The other option I always say to people is buy something that you can add value in. So you might buy a one bedroom flat, but actually has a separate kitchen and a room. And what you can do, as long as you get the permission of the freeholder and the building regulations, is you can move the kitchen into the lounge, which is what most new flats are like, and actually make the kitchen into a second bedroom.
Oh, yes.
And all of a sudden, that adds value.
Because you've got a two-bedroom property, and you're increasing the yield on that.
Exactly, and the value as well.
So and the value.
You know, so in Reading, adding a bedroom to a flat will add about between £25,000 to £30,000 to the price. So there's different ways that people can look at it. So these are very simple and easy ways that people can get onto the property ladder.
That's really inspiring. During this conversation a few moments ago, you mentioned stamp duty and making sure that when you're investing, whether you've got £100,000 and another £25,000 for legal fees, another £25,000 to do it up. But in that conversation, you mentioned stamp duty. This is something that's been on the horizon and on the tip of our tongues for quite some time. When the Chancellor reduced stamp duty on properties. There's a lot of myths surrounding this. Today, let's clarify this. On what amount do you have to pay stamp duty? And do you have to pay stamp duty? And is it something that's going to be increasing or staying at the same point? Now, I don't expect you to read the Chancellor's or Rishi Sunak's mind, but from a property perspective, the expert that you are, what is your take on this?
Look, Rishi has been really kind during this pandemic. He's got a lot of initiatives out there that have really helped people stay afloat and keep the economy going. So I think it's a lot of credit that the government has done to keep things moving forward. The current process is stamp duty up to £500,000. If there's no stamp duty, and after that, it becomes the normal tiers. If you're buying for property investing and you already own a property, you still do have to pay stamp duty because although it's reduced, there is an additional stamp duty where you have to pay 3% of the asking price. So coming back to the £100,000 that I was talking about earlier, that would mean no stamp duty if that was the first property I was buying. But if it's the second property that I'm buying, I would still not pay I wouldn't pay stamp duty, but I'd have to pay the 3% additional property stamp duty. So I'd have to pay a further £3,000 on it. So I think it's a very complicated thing. And this is where you need to have a good financial advisor, a good accountant who can navigate it. But one of the things that I would always say to people is, if you're buying property for your own residential, this stamp duty is a fantastic time because it means it puts more pocket money in your pocket. From an investor perspective, it's an interesting time because as we've seen with the stamp duty benefits, we've seen an increase in property prices. So we've seen prices go up between 5 to 10% in people's areas. I know where I live, prices have gone up by 10%. So you have to look at it. If I'm investing in it, is it really being beneficial? I may be saving on stamp duty, but I may pay more for my property price. And I think this is a conversation and an analysis that you need to have a look at and do.
This is the iMoney podcast from iGlobal. Register for or partner with the Great Big Indian Money Show, brought to you by iGlobal on March the 26th and 27th.
As far as the mindset is concerned of property investment, do we need to be in a particular frame of mind? I'm talking psychology. I'm talking here, do we need to have the strength, the backup of external parties, parents, relatives, financial advisors, accountants? Or is it something I can go it alone? And there might be something that I want to do. I might have a nest egg somewhere, a few £1,000 lying around, but I can't get my mind into it and step on the ladder of property market. There's a mindset that's restricting me from going forward. What would be your advice on that, Tushar?
I think that's the number one investment anybody can make, is to invest in themselves, in their mindset, their personal development. So fundamentally, it's a very good question. How do you start? And I think what I would say to people is read. There's fantastic books on mindset. So one book that I always tell people to read and actually gift it to people that are either finishing university or getting married is Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And it's a very good book that really explains financial investments and why what most people think is an investment is actually a liability. So when people buy a car, we all want to get that first BMW, Mercedes, Tesla, whatever. Actually, the minute you drive it off, you've lost 20% of what you bought it for because it's depreciating asset. Reading is really good. And one of the things that I always remember is when you read a good book, it's you're having coffee. So you could have coffee with Richard Branson reading his biography. You learn the challenges, how he overcame those, the approaches he takes, reading Elon Musk. So having coffee with Richard Branson and Elon Musk every day, just read a book, an inspiring biography, learn from them, understand their journey and see what you can learn from it. Other thing is fantastic is podcasts, YouTube, fantastic resources. The Money Show is obviously a good example of that. And then go and speak to people, go network, go find people that are in that industry that are investing in property or in business and speak to them. And I think that's really something. And as you start doing that, you'll come to more opportunities of developing yourself. So develop the positive habits that allow you to develop a stronger mind and a more open mind, and the opportunities will definitely present themselves to you.
This is the iMoney podcast from iGlobal. The Great Big Indian Money Show, brought to you by iGlobal on March the 26th and 27th.
Let's talk about deposits and finance now. Raising that initial deposit, raising the finance to move into a better property, putting one's own property on the market to move into a better property, and moving or stepping up the ladder, if you like. Let's explore that aspect of life and investment at this moment in time. What advice can you give us?
I think, look, property, if everyone looks at property, it's always a fantastic investment. What I say for everybody is there's five rules of property investing that I always follow along. I always look for property where I can buy a discount. Now, in the current market, that's very challenging because there's a lot more money going after property. So where I'm looking for is property where I can add value. So could I get an extension? Could I get a side extension? Could I increase the square footage? I always buy property where there's a good demand and people will always want to buy in that. A lot of people I find will go up and buy in Hull or Durham because you can buy a property for £50,000.
Yeah.
But actually, you need to make sure somebody's going to rent that property and you're going to get a really good tenant. So I think that's really important. Always buy for cash flow. So make sure your rent covers all your costs. hold it for the long term. We all know that property goes up over the long term, and have a cash buffer in place. So from an investment perspective, those are my top five tips. On a personal level, I think it's always good to look to move up and find properties. One of the things that I regret maybe when I was a little bit younger was maybe just once I got happy with my house, I was actually wanted to enjoy it. And actually, it was probably a good time for me to move on to the next project. And when you have time and resources, it's always good to find that next project. When I look at properties, it's really nice speaking to people, but they all say, oh, we've got this fantastic bathroom, this fantastic, you know, I got it from Italy, lovely marble. The reality is that's your personal taste, and that doesn't necessarily add value to a property. It's always really, really interesting when you look at these TV programs, Homes Under the Hammer, people take their personal taste and don't look at it from an investment perspective. And I think that's something you have to look at. I know if I told my wife to buy a Howden's kitchen, she'd kick me out of the house. But actually, they're fantastic for rental properties. If you want good tenants, you're going to have to replace your kitchen every 5 to 10 years. So you don't want to spend 15,000 on a kitchen when you could get it for £2,500. These are the kind of things that you would look at to really add value and make sure you're investing wisely.
This is the iMoney Podcast from iGlobal. Find out more about the Great Big Indian Money Show under the events section of iGlobalNews.com.
So as we conclude in the program today, let's assume that we've now bought our property, we've done it up, and we've become landlords of a property or a property portfolio. What are the pitfalls, the laws and the bylaws and the health and safety executive situations that we need to look at as a landlord? Because it's not all about just bricks and mortar. It's not all about just buying a property. You have to go a little bit beyond that, because there's certain laws governing how tenants protected, if you like. I think that's the right word to use, protected. Yeah. And what obligations landlords have towards them.
I think this is a part that a lot of people don't understand and fail to really get familiar with. And it's something that's very important. The simple thing I would always say to people is join an association. So I'm a member of the NRLA, the National Residential Landlords Association. It's a fantastic tool. I think it's under £100 for a year's membership. The benefit of that, it has a lot of online courses. And there's courses to tell you about all the kind of responsibilities you as a landlord have, from gas safety, electric certificates, fire safety. And I think these are really important. And it's just a simple phone call. They have a legal line. So if you are having any troubles or challenges, they'll advise you what the right step and the right approach is. Because the last thing you want to be doing is getting yourself, as we said in Monopoly, going to jail. And landlords are now increasingly going to jail or being fined significant sums of money because they failed to meet their statutory and legal obligations. And I always say to people, you want to do everything with integrity. It's a great investment, but make sure you look after that investment, because if you cut corners, it'll come to bite you back in the future. So I think the NRLA is a fantastic resource for any aspiring landlords. It's a great approach just to learn the basics and fundamentals, and a great investment to make.
Tushar, it's been fascinating talking with you today about property investment, and I, like so many others, would probably want to speak with you again and again. Is there a website or a contact where people might want to call to get your advice on moving on to the property ladder and investments?
So I think the most simplest way of contacting me is my email, which would be mail, M-A-I-L, at tusharshah.com, T-U-S-H-A-R-S-H-A-H.com.
Tushar Shah, you are a property investor and also a great friend of the iMoney Show right here on iGlobal Radio. We thank you for your kind time, and we thank you for sharing your insights and expertise with us here today on the programme. We hope to speak with you again very soon.
Thank you very much, Tony. Pleasure being here.
Thank you for listening to the iMoney Show, brought to you by iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com. iGlobalNews.com.